Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Boosting Your Financial IQ. This is Steve Coffrin here, and today I'm going to be talking about a special topic to kick off the new year. So happy 2023. Some of you may be thinking about your goals going into the new year. And from my experience, I've done a lot of things right. I've done a lot of things wrong when it comes to setting goals. So today I want to share some things with you that have worked and things that have not worked and what you could do about it. So I'm going to kick things off and get into the four things that block us from achieving our financial goals. Okay. And these four things, trust me, I have personal experience with because I've always been a goal setter. Because ever since I was a kid, I'd write down my goals almost obsessively in this book. I'd write down my goals. I would cross them out when I achieved them. I would go back and rewrite them. And I was always trying to improve myself through learning and growth. So here we go. The four things that block our success when it comes to achieving our financial goals. Number one, it's our relationship with money. Now, before I dive into that, I want to explain this very important thing. The one thing that holds us back from achieving financial success is our mindset. Because thoughts are things, and when we hold limiting beliefs and we have these feelings of scarcity or lack, and we have these other codes embedded in us from our childhood that impact our relationship with money, you know, these things are going to get in the way of us achieving what we really want and what we deserve. So that's why getting our mindset is absolutely critical. And that's the first step to overcoming the obstacles that get in our way. So to adopt this mindset of financial abundance, we have to understand what money means to us and the associated feelings we expect money to provide us with in the future. So if we think, oh, if we just have more money, we're going to be more respected and valued by our peers. Or if we think, okay, if I just had more money to buy that fancy car or those expensive designer clothes, then people will find me more attractive. Or we may believe that money is bad. You know, there's the common saying out there, money is the root of all evil, which is taken out of context. But let's just say we believe that if we make a bunch of money and we're rich, we're going to go to hell because we're going to be greedy and we're going to be dishonest and, you know, we're going to be these capitalistic pigs. So whatever your belief is about money, you have to be able to change that. And it starts with understanding what your relationship is with money. So think back to when you were a kid. What were some of the comments made about money? How were your beliefs and your mindset impacted from your environment? Did you grow up with a lot of money? Did you grow up with a little bit of money? Was money used as a form of control? As something to shame you, to guilt you? Was there never enough? So therefore you developed this scarcity mindset? Or did money create pressure? Maybe you grew up with abundance and your parents were very successful. So you felt this pressure to keep up that lifestyle, maintain that lifestyle as you left the house. So maybe that damaged you in some ways. I'll tell you from my standpoint, I was raised by a single mom, pretty much. So my dad left when I was really young. He had five kids with my mom. He left and she got remarried, had two more kids, and that didn't work out. The guy was a total punk. And then she found herself out there working two jobs. And now during this time in my life, my mom was away from the home. And I'll tell you, I have the best mom in the world, the best mom somebody could ask for. And she worked her butt off for the family. She worked so hard. But to me, there is never enough money. I mean, she did the best that she could to make ends meet. And she always did. We always had clothes. We always had food. We always had a roof over our heads. But to me, money was this like scarce thing. And money, the lack thereof, drove my mom from being away from the family. So I didn't really like this idea of money. I didn't like the feeling of scarcity and lack. And that was my relationship early on. I mean, we never had money growing up. So that carried on with me for years. I carried this scarcity mindset with me, these feelings of lack when it came to money. And it's interesting looking back, I remember when I started my landscape company, I was 16 years old. I had a landscape company and I'd go out there and I'd provide estimates for people. So I'd go out to their home and they would say, hey, I want to install some sod here and some trees and some boulders and some other landscape elements in their yards. And I would leave and I would do the math. I would add everything up. I'd add up all the costs, add this little spreadsheet. And I would figure out, okay, to do this project, it's going to cost me, you know, X amount of dollars. So therefore I need to charge $10,000 in order to make a profit. Well, then in my mind, since I was coming from this scarcity mindset, these limiting beliefs, I would think to myself, oh my gosh, $10,000 is so much money, because I didn't have that much money. I was just starting out. So therefore I thought, look, my math has to be wrong. They'll never pay this. So I'd go in and I'd discount the price and I'd cut it down from 10,000 to 9,000. And guess what? I'd do the work and the cost would remain the same. And I wouldn't earn the profits that I wanted, or sometimes I'd lose money. And it wasn't until I changed my mindset and I went from this scarcity mindset to a mindset of abundance. And it wasn't until I did that, that things started to change. At the end of my business, we were doing high-end design build projects. We were building cool water features and putting greens and outdoor kitchens and fire pits and all the really neat elements of a landscape, a really high-end landscape. And I changed my mindset to value-based instead of cost-based. But I had to change my relationship with money, my beliefs, because otherwise I'd still be stuck charging low prices because I didn't value myself. I didn't understand that money could be a tool to bless the lives of others. It could be an instrument for me to hire people and to pay them great wages and to support their families and to be an agent for good. So I had to change my mindset from lack, scarcity, and fear into abundance. So what's your relationship with money? What does money mean to you? Does it mean financial security? Does it mean respect? Is it a measuring stick of your success? Whatever it is, getting to the root of what money means to you is really critical. Because what you may find is what you're actually chasing can be accomplished in a much more direct way than through money. If you want respect from your peers, so you go out and you buy fancy clothes and you think you have to have the nicest car in the parking lot, and you spend all this money to maintain this persona just to get respect, there's a more direct way to do that. You can work on yourself. You could become more empathetic. You can ask better questions. You can take more interest in people. You can be a servant leader. And these things will earn you respect way faster than money. Because I don't know if money will ever really create the respect, the sustaining respect that you desire. You know, that's just fleeting. So understanding what your relationship with money is really critical. I know some people and they grow up in wealthy homes where for Easter, in their Easter basket, they get a new phone or the new iWatch or whatever it is, right? And it's like, I grew up and it's like, we're lucky to get jelly beans. And here they are getting $300 to $500 gifts, no big deal, in their basket just for Easter. When they leave the home, all of a sudden, they're used to this lifestyle. And they realize, oh my gosh, it takes a lot of money to maintain that lifestyle and they can't do it. Or they get into debt. So they have all this debt. They spend all this money just to try to maintain that nostalgia. And it becomes very stressful. So then money becomes this negative thing. It creates anxiety. It creates fear. It creates stress. And if you have a bad relationship with money, you have to overcome that and you have to identify that, because otherwise you'll set these goals, these financial goals, but then your subconscious will sabotage you. Remember, thoughts are things, and what we hold in our mind will ultimately manifest itself. So if you believe that you're not worthy of success, if you believe that money is scarce, if you fear poverty, and you have these other limiting beliefs, guess what? Those things are going to manifest themselves and they're going to sabotage your goals. So that's why your relationship with money, like identifying that, like writing that down, like write it down on a piece of paper, write it down in a journal, like journal about this, like uncover it, unlock this. Because what you may realize is that the things you're receiving right now, what you're getting out of life right now, is the result of the mindsets that you've held for years and years and years. You have to let that stuff go. We don't want to be ran by our smaller self, the part of us that will require a massive amount of money to compensate for our insecurities, our weaknesses, and our pride. The smaller we feel about ourselves, the more money we'll need to compensate for our inner smallness. So if we can't fix this inner smallness, the view of money as a tool to help us achieve our highest impact and our goals will not be there, right? Because instead we'll be focusing on gratifying these desired feelings. And so therefore we have to let this stuff go and we have to adopt a mindset of financial abundance. So make sure you dive into this, take the time to really understand what money means to you. To me, I could care less about buying a fancy new car or a boat or jet skis or, you know, a $300 pair of shoes. Now, look, it doesn't mean that buying those things is a bad thing, right? It just means to me, financial freedom is more important than accumulating things. That's what money means to me, is financial freedom. It's freedom to act, to be an entrepreneur, to be creative, to go out there in the world and do whatever the heck I want. If I don't have money, then I'm not living true to that value. And I'm like violating, you know, my personal constitution. And that creates other issues. So therefore, I had to get my relationship with money right. I had to eliminate these feelings of scarcity, these bad feelings, and I reframed. So going back to about my mom, like when she was working, instead of seeing that as something that was preventing my mom from spending time with the family and seeing money as this bad thing that would like, that hurt my relationship with my mom or my ability to get close to her, I had to reframe those thoughts. And now it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for those days in my life because it taught me work ethic. My mom is the hardest worker out there. Okay. So she instilled in me a work ethic that still exists today. So that was a huge blessing from that time period. It also taught me about sacrifice. It taught me about the value of money. So those things were a blessing. So it wasn't until I reframed those thoughts did my relationship with money change. So that's number one, the number one thing that blocks our success with our financial goals. Number two is specificity. Specificity is really critical because most people can't even identify what they want. They go around complaining about things and playing the victim role. But when I ask them, I say, hey, yeah, you don't like your job. Well, if you could leave your job, what would you go do? And they're like, I don't know. I mean, I would just want a better job. Okay, well, what would that include? I don't know. I just want to be happy, Steve. I say, okay, well, what would make you happy? Well, a job that's like exciting and, you know, adventurous. I say, okay, well, explain. And they can't get to the specifics. And therefore, if you can't clearly identify your goals, if you can't visualize them, if you can't smell them, taste them, imagine yourself achieving these goals, your subconscious mind is going to have a difficult time manifesting these goals and making them become a reality. So let me give you an example. I was driving once from California with my kids. We just got done doing a vacation in San Diego. And on the way back, we stopped at this gas station and next to me was this nice car. And I looked over and I was like, wow, that's a nice looking car. Dang. I really like that. The ski racks on top, you know, is white. I like white and silver cars. It's like, wow, this is a really nice car. So I peeked around the back and I noticed it was a Volvo XC90. And I was like, huh, I've never even noticed that. Now, obviously I know what Volvo is, right? I just never noticed the XC90. And at the time I was looking for a new car for my kids because we were camping more and we're skiing more. So I needed, you know, that family vehicle. Well, all of a sudden after that experience, I started noticing Volvo XC90s all over the place. They're all over the road. And that's how our subconscious mind works. Like when we set an intention, then all of a sudden we start to notice it a lot more in life. So with goals, when you're specific, and you can clearly identify what you're looking for. I'm not saying you have to predict the future. I'm not saying you have to, you know exactly how it's going to unfold. But just start with something. And when you identify that, then your subconscious mind will go to work and it'll start looking for the puzzle pieces to fill in the story to help manifest what you want. So specificity is key. Specificity is key in all parts of life. If you're struggling in business, if you're a manager or a leader or a business owner, and you're just like, oh my gosh, my employees, they just don't listen. I'm having all these management issues. You may want to look within yourself and ask yourself, am I being specific as a leader? Am I setting clear expectations? Am I setting really defined intentions with my team? And the same thing is true in our personal lives. So we first have to understand, what's the goal or the initiative we're pursuing? What are the action steps that we're going to take next? And then ultimately, what is the result we're trying to accomplish? Specificity is really, really important. Now, so many people confuse effort for results. When I was the CFO of a company, I remember sitting down with one of our business unit leaders, and he was frustrated. He was discouraged. And he said, look, Steve, you know, I'm having trouble at home because I'm just working all the time. So my wife's upset. You know, my kids are upset. I'm missing dinner. I'm just working so much and I'm just putting in all this effort. And I said, well, look, you know, like, I get it. Like, you're working so hard, you're doing all these things, but like, you're losing millions of dollars in your business unit. So you need to be focusing on the things that are most critical, on the results.
Let's take a quick break.
All right, I have to interrupt the show, but I'll be super quick. I have a question for you. Who are you working for? Chances are you're working for everyone else besides yourself. Think about it. You're working for shareholders by grinding away in someone else's company. You're working for a bank by paying interest. You're working for the government by paying taxes. You're working for social media companies by giving your attention to their paid advertisers. You're working for your friends by doing crap that you don't want to do. You're working for everyone else by not pursuing the most essential things you are destined to achieve. Look, I've been there. I'm still there at times. Ugh, it could be so frustrating. If you want to achieve financial freedom, the fastest way to do it is through business. Don't get tricked by get-rich-quick schemes. Don't be fooled that your 401k is going to build you wealth. Don't waste time by trying to piece business finance together. Check this out. Here's my invitation. Go to BYFIQ.com, which stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ.com, and check out our programs. We have one for every possible path you're on. Whether your goal is to become fluent in business finance, launch a profitable business, or scale a business successfully, we have a solution to help you. I promise you, your life will change when you take action. So check out these opportunities that I've prepared for you. Now back to the show. The goal is to work less, right? The goal is to put in less input and receive more output. So don't confuse effort for results, or you're going to get super frustrated and discouraged. So some people set goals because they like almost having a to-do list. A goal list is not a to-do list. So don't just set goals to just accomplish goals for goal's sake. You really want to identify what is the end result of your goal. So you may set a goal, hey, I want to run a marathon. Okay, that's great, but why do you want to run that marathon? Is it for better health? Is it to accomplish something that you didn't think was possible and to build more resiliency, to increase your confidence? What is it? Do you want to, you know, run this with a friend and reconnect and build this relationship? Identify what exactly you're trying to accomplish. And when you can identify that result and you focus on the results of your goal, not just the goal itself, then you're going to have much greater impact in your life. All right. The next thing is, a part of specificity is your patterns. So do your patterns match your goals? Okay. And what I mean by that is your daily patterns. You may set a goal and you say, hey, look, I want to earn, you know, $1 million this year, and I want to launch a new business, and that's how I'm going to get this money. This is how I'm going to accomplish my goal, is through starting a new business. Okay, but then your daily patterns include you waking up at 11 a.m., right? And working a few hours a day on your business. Trust me, that's not going to work. So you have to get your patterns right, and your patterns have to match what your goals are. So ask yourself, are your daily patterns contributing to you achieving your goals? And if not, you may need to change your daily patterns so they match your goals. Sometimes you just have to grind. You have to work super hard. So there you go, specificity, all right? That's number two. Number three, the third thing that blocks us from achieving our financial goals is desire and want. So let me explain this. It's good to have desire. It's good to want things, okay? I'm not saying that's bad, but it's that wantingness in that desire, when that becomes so intense, that gets in the way of us achieving our goals. And let me explain. This was a huge eye-opener for me. I've always set goals, like I said. Sometimes I get so fixated on what I want. I'm like, I just want this so bad. And then I work really, really hard. And sometimes I achieve it and sometimes I don't. And I get frustrated. Well, I just came across this, you know, this issue, I guess, in my life is this like desire and wanting that's blocking me achieving my higher impact goals. So here's the deal. When we desire something, ultimately we're telling ourselves subconsciously that, hey, we want this because we don't have it. And if we don't have it, we lack it. And if we lack it, it's scarce. So we create this limiting belief through our desires. It's kind of crazy. I didn't really think about this in the past. But our desire tells our subconscious mind that we don't have it. And thoughts are things. So if we're saying, hey, I don't have this, I lack this, then our mind will manifest that. So instead, we have to reverse that. So we set a goal. Okay, we have to be super specific. Like I said in number two, be specific, set a goal, be very clear on your intentions, like visualize it, smell it, taste it, create a vision board, whatever you do, but you have to make it real. And then let it go. Let it go. Okay, surrender it. Surrender to your goal. And what I mean by that is don't give up on your goal. Don't just be like, okay, let it go. Now I'm going to go back to playing video games and watching TV. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying set an intention. You may say, hey, look, I want to buy a mountain house. And this mountain house is going to be beautiful. It's going to be built out of these pine logs. It's going to have stone floors. You know, there's going to be pine trees all around, ponderosa pines. And it's going to be this gorgeous place in the setting. There's going to be a little creek in the back. And you can visualize it. You can smell it. You can taste it. You can imagine yourself walking through this place, living in this place, sleeping in the bedroom. And then let it go. Say, this is my intention. This is what I want to achieve. But if I don't get it, then I know there's something else better for me out there in the world. So I'm going to work my butt off. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to go in this direction. But if the house doesn't become mine, then I know that it wasn't meant for me and there's something even better out there for me. Some people get so fixated on their goals. Like, if I don't accomplish this, I'm a complete failure. And then they spiral down, thoughts or things. And it destroys their confidence and their self-worth. And they just give up. They say, look, you know, these goal setting's stupid. I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's a bad pattern to get into. So let it go. I'm not saying like give up on your dreams and hopes, but still stay true to them. Work super, super hard. But sometimes my goals, the goals that I don't accomplish, if I would have let go of that idea a lot earlier, I would have realized right in front of me, there was another blessing that came into my life. So sometimes I don't achieve the goals that I want because something better comes along. So that's what's really important to understand. And that's what gets in the way. It's kind of counterintuitive. But don't let your thoughts become these things that you don't want. You have to be a guardian of your mind. That's been a huge thing for me over the last few years. I've had to like reframe a lot of things. I've had to do a lot of work within myself to become better, to become stronger in this area. So don't let that impact you because it could be a very dangerous trap, especially if you're younger and you're listening to this podcast. If I would have known this back when I was 20, oh my gosh, I would have fast-tracked my way to success in such a quicker way. Okay, number four. The last thing that blocks us from achieving our financial goals, from getting what we want, what we deserve. Okay. The last thing is energy management. I remember being at a conference and I was speaking at a conference in my 20s. I was young, you know, I just overcame my fear of public speaking. I was kind of getting into it. So I was speaking more, doing keynotes at conferences. And I remember this one day I was speaking at this conference and I was talking about time management. And looking back on it, I have to laugh because I was just like preaching like time management. It's all about time management. Like make sure you have a schedule, a day planner. You're writing down your goals. Like you're focusing on every single minute. You're maximizing your time, 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 time. Well, as I've gotten older, I've realized that it's not necessarily time management. It's more about energy management. I know a lot of people that have all the time in the world. People that retire, they take a couple years off. They have all the time in the world. They don't get crap done. And that's because they're not managing their energy. Energy management is critical because you could have all the time in the world, but if you don't have energy, you're not going to do anything. So I had to realize this, and I had to shift some things in my own life in order to create more energy and to make my energy levels sustainable. So you have to ask yourself, what gets you energized? For me, it's getting up early in the morning and working out. I love that. Like, it gets me pumped up for the day, it gets my blood flowing, and then I can, you know, dive into work and have the energy that I need to accomplish the many things that I have on my plate that day. Meditation is powerful. That re-energizes me. Writing in my journal, that re-energizes me. Talking with friends or spending time with loved ones really instills this new level of energy within me. So it's energy management. And look, this isn't an episode about like diet and health, but what you're eating, what you put into your body is going to have a direct impact on your energy levels. So it's funny because I've spent a lot of time coaching and working with the youth through my church. And so, you know, I'd go on these youth camps and I would just watch these kids and how they ate each day. And it's like, they would wake up and eat a bag of Doritos for breakfast or a donut. And then for lunch, they would have a granola bar or a candy bar and some other junk food. And then dinner is like, they were eating nothing that was substantial. So no protein, no vegetables, fruits were out of the question. And it's just a bunch of processed packaged food. And guess what? They would crash and burn. Their blood sugar would spike and then it would crash, spike and then crash. So the same thing with you. It's like, what are you putting in your body? And how's that impacting your energy levels? So if you're eating like crap, guess what? You're going to feel like crap. I've been there. Like, I used to eat so crappy. I mean, I'd eat fast food like all the time. I would eat sweets. I would just like, vegetables weren't a part of my normal routine and I felt terrible. I looked terrible and I had like no energy. So ask yourself, what are the things in your life that are giving you more energy and what are things that are sapping your energy? And this is where you can make changes, because energy management is really critical. But let's also talk about the emotional side. Are there some people in your life that are just like killing your energy levels because they're negative, because they are, you know, narcissists who are trying to destroy you and they just like suck the fun out of the room, or they impact you emotionally? Like, those are people that you need to distance yourself from. And look, you may think, hey, how can I distance myself from this person? Am I not supposed to love everybody? Sure, you can love people, but sometimes in order to love somebody, you have to have boundaries. And putting boundaries in place will allow you to have some type of relationship with them. It's better to have boundaries and love them than to not have boundaries and then you're going to resent them and you're going to hate them. You're going to be frustrated over time with them and it's going to destroy the relationship. So sometimes somebody who's really negative and destructive, you may have to separate yourself or you may have to put boundaries up in order to protect yourself. But relationships can really impact energy. I know that firsthand. I dealt with that for years in a very negative, poisonous type setting that I found myself in. And it wasn't until I got out of that setting where my energy levels changed. I was happier. I felt more alive, more free. So look at your relationships as well and look at the things that are impacting you. If you carry around shame, if you carry around guilt, fear, anxiety, all these things are going to sap your energy. So you have to figure out a way to release those things and let them go. I've done a lot of work with this in my personal life. That's what I'm talking about. All these things I've struggled with. So those are the four things that block us from achieving financial success. Number one, our relationship with money. How we view money is really going to impact us. Remember, you can set all the goals in the world, but if you don't get your relationship right, subconsciously, you're going to sabotage yourself and you're not going to achieve your goals. So get your relationship with money right. Recode yourself, reprogram yourself, understand your code, and start living financially abundant. Number two is specificity. Make sure you can clearly articulate what your intentions are. Make sure you can visualize it, smell it, taste it, make a vision board, whatever you need to do, but get specific. Also monitor your patterns. Do your patterns match your goals and make some changes there? Number three, don't let desire and wantingness get in the way. Express gratitude for what you have. Look, if you have a job if you have healthy relationships, if you have your health, you're rich. So remember to be grateful for what you have, adopt that mindset, and more abundance will come to you. So don't let desire and wantingness, these feelings of lack and scarcity, get in the way of your goals coming true. When you're grateful for things, you're gonna notice a lot of great things and opportunities that are right in front of your face. And when you can recognize these things, you're gonna go out there and you're gonna kick some butt and you're gonna achieve your goals. So be aware of that. And the fourth thing is energy management. Physically, look at what you're doing. Is it contributing to your energy levels? And then from an emotional standpoint, what are you carrying within? What's in your backpack? Are you carrying around all these rocks, rocks of shame, rocks of guilt, rocks of fear? Empty out your backpack. Okay. Separate yourself from destructive, poisonous relationships. That's really going to help you. So it's the combination of energy management with time management is what's going to help you be successful. If you can eliminate these four roadblocks, trust me, you're going to feel freer, lighter, and you're going to start making real progress towards your financial goals. So this has radically changed my life. And I wanted to share this with you today because I was in a bad place before, and this helped me to become lighter, freer, and to just be happier overall. So I hope you got some value out of this episode. I hope that helped you. Thanks for being a part of the Boosting Your Financial IQ community. I'm so glad that you tune in to the show. You should go to our website though. Check out byfiq.com. I just put up some new merchandise that you may want to check out. Some really cool t-shirts and stickers. You know, I love these t-shirts. I'm not a big fan of merchandise typically, but this stuff is really cool. I'm glad that these t-shirts turned out so neat. And so it gives you the chance to not just, you know, speak the language of money, but to wear the language of money. So you definitely go out there, check out the t-shirts that are there, the stickers, you could put them on your water bottle or on your friend's car or whatever you want to do. But I just wanted to point out that new store that has launched and that's on the website at byfiq.com. All right, thanks for joining me today. Keep working hard, keep setting goals, keep setting your intentions, take care of yourself. You are worth so much. Never forget that. Never let anybody tear you down. Keep working hard and you will have financial abundance. Trust me, you will. Okay, in the meantime, take care. Hey, real quick, if you get value out of this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you would leave us a review. Also, if you want to be featured on the show, send me a recording with your name, your age, where you're from, and your question through a voice note or a video using your smartphone. Then email me the file at hello@byfiq.com. BYFIQ stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ. So once again, it's hello@byfiq.com. If selected, I'll give you a shout out and answer your question for you and the entire community. One last thing, if you want access to additional resources that will help you fast track your path to financial freedom, visit byfiq.com or download our free app in the Apple or Google Play App Store today. Thanks again. Hey, real quick, if you get value out of this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you would leave us a review. Also, if you want to be featured on the show, send me a recording with your name, your age, where you're from, and your question through a voice note or a video using your smartphone. Then email me the file at hello@byfiq.com. BYFIQ stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ. So once again, it's hello@byfiq.com. If selected, I'll give you a shout out and answer your question for you and the entire community. One last thing, if you want access to additional resources that will help you fast track your path to financial freedom, visit byfiq.com or download our free app in the Apple or Google Play App Store today. Thanks again.